This season of Good Morning is brought to you by Picaluna Beautiful Funerals, who are changing funerals for the better by tailoring them to you.
Whether you are caring for someone at the end of their life or planning for the future, Picaluna is all about helping you say goodbye in the best possible way. Start having the conversation today.
Listening to Good Morning, the podcast talking all things grief with honesty and humour. Welcome back to the Good Morning podcast.
We are your hosts, Sal and Im, and we are back today with a very special episode of the podcast. But as usual, before we get stuck in, Sal, what's been going on in your world lately? Tell us.
What's been going on in my world? Well, I had a spring. Well, it's not spring clean. It's an autumn clean. So I did a little bit of reorganisation and found loads of stuff that reminded me of mum. And it's been a bit challenging because I feel like I just cannot get rid of the things that she bought me. And I know that you can relate. Well, probably
what
not to all
find?
Of it, because I know some of the stuff your mum bought you, your clothes, you'd be like, see you later. But
don't tell her. Don't, mum, don't listen to that.
Hopefully she's not listening to that. So a towel, a leopard print towel that my mum bought me, must have been 15 years ago when I went to uni. It really needs to go in the bin, but I just can't let it go because it's like, mum bought me that, you know? And I'm like, I wouldn't probably put it out on display, but I'm like, I know it's just sitting in a cupboard, but I really don't want to throw it out because it's like a last, like one of the last things that, you know, I've got that she bought for me.
Like a bath towel?
Yeah, like a bath towel. And it's like, honestly, it's 15 years old, but still.
Love that you were into the leopard print all the way back, way back when.
Oh, always, mate, always. Long-standing leoperder over here.
I get that's hard. It's hard to throw that away because you've got that connection to her giving you that towel. I totally get it.
Yeah, and you know, then it comes with it, like, I don't know necessarily like the grief bombs, but just that yearning and that like, oh, yeah. Gosh, I really miss her. I went actually up to the headland this morning because it had been a while since I've been up there where her ashes are scattered, and I just went and sat there and just sat with her for a bit. But also, I've got a packet of tea bags, mate, that literally she bought me last time she came to Australia. So that's like 5 years ago now.
They'd be minging now, wouldn't they? That'd be all
yeah,
moldy.
Like I'm never going to use them. But again, like I still, like they're not even a nice brand really, but I just can't let them go. They're like at the back of the cupboard, and they were at the back of the cupboard of the place that we lived in last. I feel like these tea bags
have transported.
They literally are destined, I think, to live at the back of every cupboard of wherever I am. And I just, again, like, I remember I was having a really difficult day, and she came over. She was in Australia. She was just staying down the road. She came over with tea and biscuits, and that was the packet of tea that she bought. And so, again, I'm like, I just can't. Like, even they're probably getting mouldy and rancid now, but I just can't let them go. So, yeah, I've been fighting with that, like, should I let them go? It's probably a bit gross having old tea bags and a scruffy old towel, but still, like, I hang on to it.
There are worse things to hold on to, okay? So don't feel bad about that. And we spoke to Megan Devine, who basically explained to us that it doesn't matter how long it takes. If you don't feel ready to do something like throwing away the tea bags or the moldy towel, do not feel bad about it. Like, you can't rush these things and you shouldn't have to. So you take the time that you need. And also, Sal, for you had to go over to your mum's house immediately and sort through her things. So there's probably that connection as well, as where you didn't have any control back then. So you've got these two items as well that you, of hers. So it's understandable that you want to hold on to those. So just do it.
Okay, mate. Thank you. You've given me that reassurance. Because I was, did bring some things up. And I was like, oh, you know, it makes you really miss the person. But then also, it's like, should I just get rid of these? Do I need to hold on to them? But then I really wanted to. So I feel good that I've shared that with you, actually. So thank you.
You should read our book. It's got some good advice in there.
I might reread our book, yes. How are you doing, mate?
I'm okay. I'm sort of smack bang in the middle of all the griefy milestones. You know, this time of year, the start of the year is always,
You're really in the trenches, aren't you, at the moment?
In the trenches, this is like, I've got peak. Mum's B-Day looming. which is always a hard one. The birthday is always a hard one. So, yeah, it's just a bit of a griefy milestone slog at the moment. But I am just rolling with the punches, letting it all out when I can, and just doing the things that I know make me feel good. Yeah.
Good. That's all you can do. And allow yourself to feel what comes up. And maybe if you're operating at, you know, a lower percentage battery-wise, that's also okay, right? Just give yourself grace.
Yeah.
So, on to today's guest. Very excited for this one, because we are talking about something that I think a lot of our listeners may have experienced, and that is grief dreams. You might think, what the hell is a grief dream? But it's basically when you have reoccurring or vivid dreams about your person, and they can be extremely realistic and also sometimes feel like they have messages, can't they, Im?
Yeah, they can. So you've had a very memorable grief dream about your mum. Why don't you tell us that, so listeners can kind of get an idea of what a grief dream could look like?
So, for example, I hadn't dreamt about my mum for about 8 months after she died, and then the night that I slept after my birthday, so my first birthday without her, I had this vivid dream, and it was like she was holding my hands. She was right next to me, so I was literally looking in her eyes, and I could see like her hair. It was really vivid. I could see the texture and every strand, like the texture of her skin. It was just all super, super vivid. And I remember I woke up and I felt confused but also calm. It was really strange, and it was almost like I felt like she was there with me. So that's an example of what could, like, for me, a grief dream was. But then I've also had dreams in the past where she's popped up and I've been like, I know you're dead, why are you here? And we've been like hanging out. That actually happens quite a lot, and I know in my dream that she's dead, but also I'm really happy to see her. So things like that reoccur, and sometimes they're reoccurring, like it's in a similar like setting. What about you, Im? Have you had like some memorable grief dreams?
Well, I actually haven't told you this. I think it was the night of my mum's anniversary, so back in February, I had a grief dream, and it was like that, the one that you just mentioned then, which is she'd come back from the dead, and I knew that she'd died, and she knew that she'd died, and we were sort of conversing about the fact that she died, but she's come back now, and it was so vivid and real. And I was like, was that a grief dream? I think it, like, or like a visitation dream almost. It really felt like it. It wasn't like a nice dream, and it wasn't a nightmare. It was kind of just like a weird, yeah, I don't know. It was an odd one, but I was conscious that she was dead. And I kind of got to talk to her again, which felt nice, but it was also strange. I don't know.
They can be super confusing, can't they?
Yeah.
And they can be comforting, but also really confusing. And that's what today's guest is here to talk to us about. His name is Dr. Joshua Black, and he's a researcher, host of the Grief Dreams podcast, and his work focuses on grief dreams and continuing bonds after loss. And so we really dive into what is happening when we're dreaming about our person, like what do grief dreams mean? What do they consist of? What can they teach us? What are common types? And what are the differences and different types of grief dreams that we might experience? So if any of you are listening and you've dreamt about your loved one, or you haven't dreamt about your loved one, this is definitely a conversation for you, because it sheds a lot of light on what's happening for us when we go to sleep and they pop up.
They do pop up. And guys, before we get stuck into oh my God, I'm on the stutter today. I've just hit my microphone. Oh my God, let me try that again, guys. Before we get stuck into today's episode, please don't forget to hit subscribe so you can get every new episode of the pod as soon as it goes live. And if Good Morning has helped you in your grief and you have a spare minute of your day, it would mean so much to us if you could leave us a little sneaky rating or a short review wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It's so helpful to help other people find Good Morning who might need the grief support, hey? Yeah. And a few other quick updates, guys. You can now get signed copies of our book on our website, and we're going to be launching a very exciting membership soon, which is all about helping you find the Sal to your Im. It's all about friendship, connection, and peer support in your grief. So the link to join the waitlist is in our show notes. So check it out and more details to come. But for now, let's get into grief dreams.
Joshua, welcome to the podcast. So for anyone who isn't familiar, you're a grief researcher, a speaker, a consultant, and host of the Grief Dreams podcast. And you're also one of the leading academic experts in grief dreams. I am so excited for this topic, and so is Sal, and I'm sure our community is as well. To start, can you just tell us, like, what is classified as a grief dream and what made you specialize in this area?
Well, there are different types of grief dreams that people may have after someone has died. And so one of them is just really a reflection of basically what's going on in one's waking life. So the deceased isn't present within the dream imagery at all, but it's reflecting what they're going through. So it could be the individual's having a dream, they're running by a mountain, the mountain collapses on you. And so it can really represent the heaviness and the weight of waking life. Then you have these dreams where there's other people who are talking about the deceased, but the deceased isn't in there, or there's reference to them in some way. Like maybe it's like the house that they sort of grew up on, or angels will talk about the deceased. I've seen that. And then lastly, this is sort of what everyone wants to talk about, and this is sort of what my research more or less focuses on, is the dreams with the deceased that are actually present in the imagery. And those can be really positive and comforting, can be very negative and disturbing, also can be neutral and like kind of bizarre in many, many ways. And so, you know, that's sort of like the gambit of everything. And what got me into this was, you know, like with all of us, our own my own loss. So I was an undergrad and my dad suddenly died, and it was the first time I've experienced like loss, and it completely broke me. It, you know, as a good male in our society, I just suppressed that stuff thinking it was, you know, go away on its own, but it never did, surprisingly. And so what happened was I stopped crying. So like when he died, I cried, and at the funeral, I cried. But then after that, I wanted to get back to school. I wanted to get back to work. And so I was able to do that. But what happened was life kind of turned, you know, black and gray. There was no color left in it. But I also stopped crying. So I kind of like, that was kind of like my goal, and I achieved it, but I understand the consequences. And I just thought, this is just life. And then I had a dream of my father 3 months later that changed everything for me. And it brought the color back into my world. And so that dream was basically me sitting in, it was in my room, and it felt like everything in my room was the same way it was in waking life. It was very interesting. I haven't really had dreams like that. And then I saw him, and he was looking through some of my stuff. I went up to him, knowing he died. And I said, I'm going to miss you, you know, acknowledging the loss. And I told him that I loved him. And then I had a chance to hug him. And in that moment, I woke up. And when I woke up, something changed in me. That darkness, that gray life looking, whatever, it completely changed. It did a 180. And now I could feel my emotions again. I could feel joy. I also felt this like comforting peace when I woke up. And that, I look back at that moment, I'm like, it was the thing that got me back on track to really start processing and regulating my emotions, and also seeing life a little differently by having and being able to say goodbye and that I loved them, which are two things I didn't get a chance to do. And then from there, you know, life just takes you on this wild journey where you're going one place, and then for whatever reason, you decide to turn around and go somewhere else. And that's basically what happened here. I was going to be an elementary school teacher. Then I decided to, that didn't feel right. And then I decided to volunteer with the bereaved themselves. And they kept asking about these dreams. And for me, I had like a couple of my own, and I kind of kept them hidden. I didn't really tell anyone, but they were asking me questions about their dreams, and I didn't tell them I had any, but they had these real, they like, why am I not having dreams? Why am I having these negative dreams? And I was very curious for why. And then when I went to the literature, there wasn't anything there to really provide them. And so that's when I had that moment of insight, like maybe I could do this, and maybe I could sort of provide some answers for these people. And then that was its own, you know, task of getting courage to be a researcher, which I wasn't planning on doing. But, you know, when you have a goal and a passion in life, it's amazing what you can do. And so I was able to do my MA and PhD and really try to find answers to help people who are grieving when it comes to this topic.
Absolutely fascinating. And I think Im and I can relate to that, you know, grief and big experiences in life. They do take you down unexpected routes.
We didn't expect to be talking about grief every day, just like you, you know, our mums died suddenly and it just changed our priorities in the course of our lives. And I'm really curious to know, now that you research this topic, what do you think the purpose of that dream, or what do you think that dream that you had did to ignite the emotion in you and to change the course of your life?
It's a good question, because I think there's a couple things there, especially when I've seen so many other dreams from across the world. And one of the things was the amount of the peace and love in that moment in time. I don't know if I've ever achieved that in waking life, to tell you the truth. I mean, I'm trying to get there, but the thoughts, they keep coming in. But like in that moment, it was just pure love and peace. And even though I knew he was dead, but yet there was something in that moment in time, I feel, that changed me. And then additionally, to be able to say goodbye and to tell him I loved him, like those are two things that I feel were blocks in my grief. And to be able to say that to my father and to feel it was real, I think it did its own thing also. I think there's a couple layers going on there. And then let's say like if you're spiritual, for me, I sort of saw it as my father when I look at that. But even if I didn't, I think the dream, because I've seen it with a lot of other people who aren't religious or aren't spiritual, it still changes them. And so there's something about doing it, which kind of reminds me of like, you know, the Gestalt therapy, where it's like the empty chair technique, you know, like, but this is like a real version of that, where you get to say to the person who has died, you know, like your thoughts and your feelings. And so that's kind of like part of that. But because you're in this realm where it's real in that moment, I think it does so much to help process the loss in a different way, where you couldn't really have that in waking life.
We've had Elisa Donovan on the podcast, haven't we, Sal? And she had like exactly that kind of dream where she resolved a lot of things with her dad, and it was just amazing. It was a really popular episode. But also you've had like a really strong dream as well, Sal. That was sort of soon after your mum died, didn't you, where you like felt her?
Oh yes, I'd love to unpack this with you actually, Joshua. So I think it was about, so my mum died in November, and I didn't have any dreams about her until the July, and the evening of my birthday, I had this dream, and I was getting really frustrated because I was like, why haven't I dreamt about her? It's been like, what's that, 8 months almost? Or 9 months even? Nothing. And then, yeah, the eve of my birthday, I had this dream, and it was so vivid. It was like, she was holding my hand like this, and her face was like here. She was looking at me, smiling. But I could see, like, it was like I was awake. I could see, like, you know, the kind of texture of her skin, the shape of her nails, like her hair. It was like she was there. And it was quite confusing when I woke up, but it was comforting as well. Like, but it felt real. And I know there's the term of, like, visitation dreams and, yeah, like, what was going on? Like, what was it?
You know, we still have answers exactly what it all is and what it all means, because there's the dream itself, and then there's your interpretation of the dream. And those are two distinct things, and they can challenge one another based on how you interpret it, and cultures have different views on the dreams. But the dreams can be very similar across cultures and people. And so for you, just to sort of see her, like we always say, if I had a million, I wishes had like $1 million, I would use it to like see my loved one more time, right? If it just had another chance. And there's something beautiful about being able to just hold them or see them. And you sometimes don't even need to interpret it. You just sort of be in it. And like you look at a piece of art as you get immersed into the experience, because that in itself, I think, has its own gems for the soul, for the mind, to really work through some of the stuff. And then as you move forward, these dreams can change to whatever you need. But for whatever reason, in that moment in time, that was the best dream for you. And that sort of just is like a reflection, because, you know, some dreams, like the deceased talks and shares like amazing gems and really helps help you cope. And sometimes they're nightmares. You had a dream where it was just you two there, and you're like really said, like seeing her features. And there's something about that. And it's probably something unique about who you are as an individual versus who I am. And like, I never had that type of dream. And so it kind of like goes to also the uniqueness of our grief and who we are in our personality and our relationships with the deceased.
Yes. And you mentioned that you didn't dream about your dad for a while and that everything felt grey. And likewise, I didn't dream about my mum for a while. So if anyone's listening and they haven't dreamt about their loved one, is that an indicator that something's up, that they're not processing their emotions? Like, why do we sometimes not dream about them for a while or at all?
Yeah, it's a good question. That's actually what people were asking of me. And so it took me to do a PhD to get some type of answers. There's still more to find out. But so I've done multiple studies and they both are saying the same thing, that the most important factor is actually how often you remember dreaming in general. And so I looked at one's grief, I looked at attachment, personality, looked at a bunch of other different factors, spirituality, and none of those really impacted the frequency of dreaming of the deceased. And what did was how many dreams people remembered in the last month. And so the more dreams you remember, the more you're going to have a higher probability of remembering one of these types of dreams. And so it's interesting when you look at it that way, because a lot of people that don't have dreams will question, you know, is if they're spiritual, did they cross over? Are they mad at me? Are they like restricting their visit? Some people just get jealous. They want one for themselves, may think something's wrong with them. And no, that's not seems to be the case. It seems to be more of the how often do you remember your dreams? And so usually we remember 1 to 2 dreams a week. You know, sometimes it's more. And so there's different ways to increase your dream recall frequency. But there's 10% of the population that doesn't actually remember their dreams. So for them to remember one of these dreams would be almost impossible. And so it's like understanding where you lie in that. And then there's also the timing of things, because as much as you're not maybe remembering those dreams, you're probably still dreaming of them. And so this is its own little, you know, question in my mind is the dreams that we don't remember, do they still have a significant impact in our grieving process? I don't know, right? Like we can't see our dreams yet, but we know the ones that we remember definitely can. And so with that, you know, like people have their own reasons or some understanding of their dreams. But also I've found just by talking to people, are people actually ready for a dream? Because a lot of people may say that, but when you actually ask them, it makes it the death even more real. I've had a couple of people on my own podcast where there is an avoidance there. Like, because when you ask them about, have you visited the gravesite yet? They said, no, I don't want to believe it's real, kind of thing. And I said, oh, that's interesting. And then I said, oh, that's probably why you didn't maybe have one yet. And then they visited the gravesite, and soon after they had a dream. And so I think a lot of it is about timing and where we're at within our own grieving process too. But those are the two things I tend to sort of see. And then there's like the gambit of now that you have a dream, is it positive or negative to you? And try to get understanding, you know, from that so we don't complicate our grief through our own interpretations or someone else's interpretations that we take on.
It's so interesting. Like my experience with grief dreams was quite intense. So I'm a very vivid dreamer. Like I feel like I remember dreams every single night, which is quite exhausting, but I'm also quite an anxious person. So I feel like a lot of my dreams are quite anxious dreams. And so when my mum died, I dreamt about her most nights, but it was like terror and fear and nightmares. And my mum took her own life. So I feel like I probably was doing a lot of grief processing in my dreams. Is that a thing?
It is, yeah. Just in some of the research, trauma recovery is one of those things. And so you can have, so like the way your mom died, that would be very common to have very negative dreams, either reenacting the incident or even like the incident being in a different way. And so some of the theories of that is that if the dream is different than what actually happened, that means the mind is trying to integrate that loss and work with that. While you're asleep. So a lot of people have this idea that when we're asleep, our mind just shuts off. No, it's like processing our emotions. It's processing our day. It's trying to help us where in waking life, sometimes it can get stuck. And so some of these dreams can sort of be reflections of what's going on in your mind to try to help you process some of that pain and some of that trauma as you sort of work through. But and then there's like other dreams that are, you know, definitely nightmarish in general, where you have to take it more seriously. And I think, you know, if the deceased ever like tries to get you to join them. So this is just like a theme that's come up in my research and other research where, and across cultures actually too. So the deceased, basically they, nightmares are sort of, people have them, but when it's this theme, it's very interesting. So it's the deceased is trying to convince you to basically take your own life. And so sometimes it's very negative where they're trying to force you to. Other times it can be kind of positive where they're saying that's the only way we can be together. And so if that dream ever comes up, that's something that definitely could represent suicide ideation or severe depression. But all the other dreams that have been sort of that I've seen, it's sort of what you'd expect, because that's one of the things we've learned from dream research is that in Western world anyway, is that dreams represent our waking life in many ways. And so when I actually started like investigating this topic, I thought more people would be having negative dreams, because if dreams represent our waking life and we're grieving, we should be having more negative dreams. You see that just in general. And then also, really after trauma. So negative dreams increase even further. But when it comes to the dreams being where the deceased is present in the imagery, what's very interesting is it's actually more common to have very positive imagery with the deceased, not negative. And so it kind of goes against typical dream understanding, which is why I think a lot of people will then look this, that there, this might be a visitation. This might be something different because of that positive nature and the vividness of these dreams. But yeah, so at the end of the day, that's, it's something that just keep in mind how we would expect negative dreams. And so your mind was just like working through the trauma that, that was.
So interesting. And what about like, this is, I guess, can relate to grief dreams, but maybe just general dreams. Like sometimes I'll have reoccurring dreams where I'm in a similar situation or place. What does that mean? Why do we have reoccurring dreams?
Well, in trauma, recurring dreams is just the mind trying to continue to process what it hasn't been able to integrate in waking life. And so a lot of times it's hard, right? It's hard to continuing to sort of see and work through that trauma for whatever reason. And then also a lot of times we can ignore what we need to work through. And so what can happen is that the mind keeps bringing it up because maybe you're having a trigger or you're having something to remind you that this still needs to be processed. And so there's a lot of different, you know, reasons why, but you sort of see that with, you know, just with other trauma dreams where there's that recurrence of it all. But it's also based on the dream itself, because people can have these positive dreams within the same scenario or situation. It's just really understanding, you know, your own dream language and what that dream represents. And one of the things I'd like to try to get the people to like look at is what are the feelings in the dream? Because it's really, I think, easiest to understand your own dream if you can understand the feelings you're feeling and try to relate that to waking life. And then you can connect the dots. Because like our culture isn't great at understanding, you know, our dreams or the language of our dreams. And we tend to search online for like, what does this mean? What does that mean? And that doesn't actually do you any good, because your language is your language. And whoever you're looking at online or in the books, that's their language. And those are their symbols. And that doesn't have anything to do with you. And so it's just really, you know, it takes time to really understand how you work and how your images relate to your own personality and what you're trying to work through in many ways.
Sal, let's take a moment to talk about this season's sponsor, Picaluna Beautiful Funerals. So like us, most of you listening have probably either planned or attended your loved one's funeral. Sal, did you have any idea about what your mum wanted her funeral to be like?
I literally had a tiny idea that she wanted bright colours and that was it. What about you, Im?
Well, we never actually got to have the conversation about how she wanted her funeral, but I do remember her telling me once, this is quite funny, that she wanted to attend her own funeral so that she could hear all of the nice things that everyone had to say about her.
Oh, I love that. That's quite a good idea.
Classic Vanessa. How good, should we just have our funeral and like say all the nice things? But this is one of the main reasons, I don't think I've told you this either, but why I got up and did her eulogy, even though it was so difficult to do, because I knew from that conversation, if she was going to be anywhere that day, she would have been right there listening to what nice things that we had to say about her. But other than that, you know, I think I was just so out of it. I couldn't help with the planning at all. My sister had to pick up all of the pieces and take care of all of the planning. She is an instrumental griever. And I couldn't do it. But I do wish that I had chatted with my mum about the finer details. But how the hell do you even start those conversations?
Well, I think it's as simple as starting with like asking a question like, what piece of music is significant to you? Or what hobbies or passion do you feel reflect your personality best?
Yeah, I love those suggestions. They're good. And I think the thing is, being prepared for a death in your circle can sometimes feel like a daunting task, but it's something that touches us all. So I think these conversations regarding death can be difficult, but they're important to have.
They really are, and it is all about the personal touches. And that's why what Picoluna is doing is so important, because not only do they provide end-of-life consultancy and doula support, they also help you facilitate these difficult conversations, and they make them so much easier. You know, they do the whole shebang. Their funeral arranger meets you and helps guide you in creating meaningful funerals and within your budget as well, which I think is really important. And they help you personalize it your way so that you can really honor your person in a way that reflects them. And that could be something like, you know, a paddle out with surfers to scatter the ashes, or a gathering in bushland, by the ocean, in an event centre. Whatever you want to do, they can help you make it happen.
I wish I had known there were so many choices available. I 100% would have had Mum's funeral out in the Red Desert. She loved the outback. But something else that I love that Picoluna are doing is they give back and they donate 5% of their profit to one of their Picoluna charity partners, which I think is really beautiful.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. And I really love that they're giving back in that way. So guys, whether you're caring for someone at end of life or like us, you know how bloody hard planning a funeral is when you're deep in grief, start having the conversation today with Picoluna Beautiful Funerals. Now, back to the show.
And we touched on a little bit offline before we got into it, and I was worried that we were going to get too much into the juicy stuff, but you were talking about different cultural beliefs and how that can impact dreams. I'm really interested to explore this topic a little bit with you. Like, what do you know about the different cultures and their dreams and their interpretations of dreams?
Well, I know some stuff, but there's definitely a lot I don't know. But I do know, like, the indigenous peoples always valued dreams. And so their culture has always valued these specific dreams too. And so some of the positive dreams could really represent, you know, the soul coming. But also some of the negative dreams, some may be interpreted also as a spirit. So it could be a haunting or something like that. And you see that also with other cultures and even within Christianity. Some people believe that these dreams, even the very positive dreams, them saying I love you, is the devil in disguise, which for me doesn't make much sense because these dreams have been shown to be a very positive marker in people's grief journey. And so for me, it doesn't make a significant sort of point to like for the devil to try to like harm you if they're actually helping you. It just doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. But some people have that because they viewed it as a soul and the soul can't come back. So if the soul can't visit you, then it must be something, deceiving about it all. Then you have, in Buddhists, Buddhists believe in reincarnation. And so with some Buddhists, they may have a very beautiful dream also. But then that's a sign that the soul hasn't been reincarnated yet. And so it's actually pretty distressing for them to be able to get that. And then so what they do is they provide these merits, and then they would try to reincarnate the soul a little bit faster. But it's interesting, like when you start looking at sort of these different explanations, like there's no like – these dreams are so different and the interpretations are so vast that it's really hard to get an actual, like, this is what it means in different cultures. Just like with the Buddhists, I've talked to other Buddhists with it and some people said, yeah, like they'll just reincarnate when their time. Other times they go, they've reached enlightenment. So they had different understandings for whatever they're taking in. And so just like understanding that, I know there's a culture, the Azabano people of Papua New Guinea, and they believed in witchcraft, so that there's witches around. And one of the common ways that they find out who the witch is the dream of the deceased, would sometimes tell them who killed them, right? The witch. And I don't know how accurate that would be, but in one paper I did read, though, was the child saying, "Tell my father that the person who he thinks is the witch in town isn't. I just died from natural causes." So you can sort of see sometimes the dreams can actually help save lives in many ways based on one's perception of what they're trying to do or their belief system. So as I've looked throughout like all the different types of dreams, these very loving dreams are very common and one of the most common things. And it's just, how do we interpret that through our cultural lens or through our religious lens on how do we make sense of that? How do we make sense of these negative dreams? And what can we really do about that if we do have them? And so like, those are the things I always try to pierce apart, because I don't know, like our beliefs are so different from one another and we don't know. And I don't know who you've talked to and what their input in your life is on how you view these dreams. And so by just talking about it, like on this podcast, which I'm grateful for, it just helps you understand that there is some research that you can actually go and sort of see what is common, what's normal when it comes to these types of dreams, and how can we look at it through a lens of academic research? It doesn't take away from the religious or spiritual lens, but just how do we sort of place it into the context of being human? And then we can understand it from around after that.
So interesting. And I actually looked at the research that you've done, Joshua, and it's interesting to see that some of the more common dream themes from your research that people experience are more positive. So their loved ones are healthy and happy, or they're acting and speaking in a way that is comforting. Do you find that people, it tends to help people with their grief if they have a tendency to have more positive grief dreams? Is that something that you found in your research?
I don't know if I found it. Well, I guess I kind of did, in the sense of like why it's meaningful to people. But yeah, like some of these dreams, sometimes people only have one, but it's something they hang on to throughout their journey, because you know, grief is so painful and so hard to, you know, fully sit with all the time, and these dreams can provide them almost a feeling and time that they can go back to, where they use that to get strength or to feel love, to persevere some of the pain, or to remember, if they see it as a, like a spiritual visitation, to remember what that was as they move forward. Because they may not, you know, like I know you talked about signs. You may not get a sign when you want it, when you need it. And so you can use that to just remember and reflect on that they're still there. They're still with you in many ways. But I think a lot of it's that love piece, because that's the thing. It doesn't, like they say a lot of really amazing stuff to help people either with guilt, with, you know, parenting, or just feeling that, you know, they're still loved, that they've crossed over a lot of the stuff that people sort of, long for. But it's that love. And I think there's power in love, because like we talk about, like, you know, grief is, you know, kind of like grief is, you know, is love. And that's why we're grieving, is because they're not there anymore. But what's interesting is when we're in a state of grief, that power of that love, it seems to be gone in many ways. Like it's very hard to sit with that. Like, but these dreams can bring it back. Like, and you can still feel the sadness, but the love is still present and it surrounds you. And so I think there's something to do with, you know, feeling love again, that really helps us as we walk this journey. And that's either from your friends, within yourself, from the deceased. But there's something about that, that I think these dreams are really getting people to feel again. And I think that helps people as they move through their grief journey, because like, you know, that sadness and that, you know, that pit in your stomach and that frustration, and even that loneliness, all that stuff, you know, like love kind of eliminates that in many ways, where it, like, it allows you to sort of see, I can do this, and provides you hope that you can live again, that you can continue to move forward with them in your heart. Like they died, but the love is still there. And I think that's the most powerful lesson I've learned through looking at all these dreams.
I love that. And you mentioned just before about like the guilt as well, and how, you know, dreams can help with that sort of thing too. Like, and before we jumped on, we were talking about how a lot of people can be atheists, and then after their loved one died and they have these dreams, they can become a lot more spiritual. I think that was definitely my experience. Mm-hmm. I didn't really think too much about the afterlife or spirituality or anything prior to my mum dying. And then after she died, I feel like I'm pretty woo-woo now. But it was like speaking to a medium and like connecting with my mom was one of the things that like eradicated my guilt. Like it just helped so much, just having that reassurance from my loved one on the other side about all these things that I was holding on to. So I can imagine it'd be the same if someone had that same connection through a dream, just that relief. Like I just felt utter relief and it really helped me move forward.
That's amazing you had that. And a lot of people do say if they don't have a dream, they will go to a medium to try to get that relief, to hear those words.
Yeah.
But people are having these dreams and then that's all they need, right? So they just need to hear that. And trying to find the ones that are maybe more legitimate, right? So,
yeah.
But yeah, and I think there's power in that. And then you see that with, like I've studied with pet loss and even miscarriage and just the whole gambit. We can have guilt in every type of loss. And you see those dreams helping people within that and in those situations. And I think that's the most beautiful experience to see from an outsider, that that has helped them in such a beautiful way that they can now process their grief in a different way rather than trying to like complicate their grief by thinking they've done something wrong or that they should feel guilty for something. And the answer is no. You know, we're just here. We just have to sort of process the life now that they're not going to be around. And that in itself is hard enough. And when you start putting this guilt on, like that's, I don't know how you move through that. And so I'm really happy that these moments happen in people's lives to help them almost as like a best friend would to the next steps in their grieving journey. And it's coming from inside us, which I think is beautiful. We don't need to rely on anyone else. So I think that's why these dreams are the most powerful, because people have their own experience that only they fully know the feeling of it. And as you said, it can be very vivid and it can change how you even perceive reality. Like I said, like many atheists will have these dreams and say there must be something more because this dream was different than anything I've ever experienced before. And I think that is phenomenal on how that is occurring. What is occurring? I don't know, right? We have our ideas, but something's occurring. And it's something about being human too, because when you look at how frequent these dreams occur in people, it's really high. So like just even within, let's say like in spousal loss within the first year or two, is like 86% of people had at least one dream of deceased. And after pet loss was like 78%. And after a miscarriage, it was 57%. So these people are having these experiences and it's a human experience. So it doesn't represent like your spirituality. This is something that we're all experiencing one way or another. And as time goes on, more and more people will experience this stuff. And I just want to sort of mention, this doesn't stop when you're done your acute grief. Like this continues on and to help you in more difficult positions, either let's say a divorce. I've seen a lot in the pandemic where the people are having dreams of the deceased, providing them advice or comfort from the loneliness. And then at end of life, you'll see these dreams occur again to help people transition to life to death, from life to death. And so you sort of see that it's a very unique place where these dreams have, where there's a continuum that after they've died, it continues on to the end of your life. And how beautiful that is, how there's still that comfort that goes on and to help you as you process the rest of your journey.
And just final question, Joshua, this has been so, so interesting and so insightful, but you mentioned guilt just then. Is there a role that grief dreams have in regulating difficult emotions like guilt?
They can, yeah. They also can induce guilt based on the dream you have. So like you can have a negative dream where the deceased is basically telling you should feel guilty or that you should feel bad about your decisions and what you've done. And so I've seen that. And when you really process that, there's a lot of things that actually the person's feeling in waking life. And so before one takes it as a haunting or legitimate, I think it's really to go back and realize that this probably is reflective of what you're already dealing with or thoughts you already have in waking life, either yours or someone else's that you're believing is to be true. And so just really understand that, because that's what we would expect in just in normal life. Like if you're feeling guilty for, let's say, cheating on a test, well, you're going to maybe have those dreams of the teacher, you know, telling you something like that. But it's these positive dreams where they're saying that it's okay, that there's nothing you could have done, that, you know, like all those sort of messages. Well, you wouldn't expect that. And so for that, that's a little more powerful for people because it changes their feeling when they wake up. That guilt like subsides. And then all of a sudden, what do you get? You get love, right? Love sort of comes through that. And then the beauty of love is that it's like the most powerful medicine. It really helps you in ways that we don't fully even understand at this moment. But to feel that, like, it just eliminates, it can just really eliminate the guilt. But then, you know, like, the mind's a funny thing too, because then you may just think about guilt in another way or whatever. So it's always great that these dreams tend to, though, have a lasting impact on people. Like, once they get it and they say, don't feel guilty, they're not going to continue to feel guilty. Like, it switches their direction and what they talk about, and what they focus on moving forward. And I think that's such, so like, such a beautiful thing. So it does regulate our emotions. And I think in a time of grief, we kind of need that. Like, I needed that. That's what my dream did. It really regulated my emotions. So then I could feel the sadness, and I could also feel the joy and love in the world that was still present, that I wouldn't have, if someone asked me, I wouldn't have said that there was.
And very quick question from me. If anyone is listening to this and thinking, I'm having reoccurring bad dreams, is that an indicator that maybe they need to seek some help to process, or that there might be something going on where they need greater support?
I think so. I think it's, I don't know how much support you do need depending on what the dream is. It's so, for a lot of people, it's just really trying to understand what that dream is representing in their waking life. And then if they can understand that, it's like, then how can I work through that? And so it could be, talking to a therapist, or talking to a friend, or even talking to your pet. Like, it's just like, but it's like talking about it and getting it out. Because a lot of times we think we're farther sometimes than we truly are. And so our emotional intelligence isn't the greatest. Like, I'm still learning. We're all learning about how to process our emotions and identify the emotions that we're feeling. And so these dreams can just, I think, focus us back on to something that needs to be looked at and to focus on. Because a lot of times we would say, oh, I don't feel guilty, I'm okay. But then you're not aware of the impact that that's still having on you. You just like push it to the side thinking you've dealt with it. And so if you're having these dreams, it could represent, yeah, you haven't worked on that. And so what are the ways that you can do to focus on that, to actually integrate that within your life? Other times it could be you're feeling guilty for something else, let's say in waking life. And then that is just is being represented through those images. And so it may not actually be for the deceased, maybe your grief per se on that event. It could be for something else. Let's say you stole something from the store or something, right? And you're feeling guilty. And so it could be representing those feelings of guilt. And so it really depends on where someone is in their grief journey to fully understand, but they're the ones that sort of would know the most on like how that is applicable to their life.
That's brilliant. And I just love that you had that experience with your dad as well, Joshua. Like, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And for any of our listeners who want to explore grief dreams a little further, where can they find you and your work?
Yeah, so they can find me at griefdreams.ca. There's a lot of information on there, common questions that we haven't talked about. I try to answer on there. And you also can look at on Instagram at griefdreams, and I also have the Grief Dreams podcast, so people can really hear more of the dreams from people themselves who had them and the impacts that it had on their lives, positive or negative.
Amazing. Joshua, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing all of these incredible insights. We're very grateful for the work that you do, and it's been absolutely lovely to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure for people to take this seriously and help normalize these experiences. So just thank you for the work you're doing and for even having me on. It's been a pleasure.